fulfilled in the birth of Christ.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Tonight we celebrate the promise of peace.
Let earth receive her King.
Tonight we celebrate the joy of knowing a Savior has come.
Let every heart prepare him room.
Tonight we celebrate the love of God.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns.
Tonight we light all 5 candles on this Advent wreath. As the flames gleam, we are reminded that Christ is the true light of the world, and with the Christ candle in the center, the flames of hope, peace, joy, and love burn even brighter. So it is with Christ in our hearts, we can rest in the hope of eternal life and look forward to the promised peace on earth. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Let us go to God in prayer. We're grateful, Lord of life, for this most wondrous night in which truly the divine and the human intersect, in which miracles abound, and that wondrous love enters our world. Your love, the love found in your Son, who is our Savior. As we've gathered here tonight, Lord God, make us like a child, to see the miraculous that surrounds us, to be able to go deep in our faith once again, to know that truly angels speak, that women are blessed with the ability to give birth to a Savior, and that a husband stands with his wife, stands with his newborn child. Thank you, Lord God, for the wonder of this evening, for the birth of Jesus, for it's in his name that we not only dedicate this prayer to you, but we bring the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. there was a woman who was pregnant, and her and her husband were talking about how many kids they had, etc., and their four-year-old son overheard the parents' conversation. He didn't say anything about the conversation the parents were having, didn't say anything for about a week. A family friend asked this little boy what he thought about his new brother or sister. Was he excited? You know, what was going on? The little boy said, yes, yes, and I even know what they're going to name the new child to be born. And the friend said, what? What are they going to name it? The little boy said, if it's a girl, they're going to call her Emily. And if it's a boy, they're going to call it quits. I'm glad you all got that one. I thought that was really funny. Hey, we're talking about a baby tonight. But first, for this Advent season, which has been four Sundays, this is the fourth Sunday, we've been looking at the principal parts of this nativity story. We start off with the idea that there's prophecy, that God told us what was going to happen, told us centuries upon centuries before it occurred. 600 years was the last prophecy, 600 years before the birth of Christ was the last prophecy. There are 300 of them that relate to the Messiah who had come. Only one person fits this. It's a statistical impossibility for more than one person to be this. It has to be Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. In fact, the prophecy even tells us what town it would be. Not just any Bethlehem. No, Bethlehem of Judea, of which there's only one, that the Messiah would be born there. The other principal parts that we looked at prophecy in town. We looked at a young girl who said yes. Also one of the prophecies, that a virgin would bear a child. It would be a miraculous child. And that child would be Emmanuel, which means God among us. Today, this morning, we looked at the Father, the one who sits in the back of the stable. We looked at Joseph. But somehow, sometimes we forget about his principal part of this, that he's the one who said yes to Mary as well, that he made certain that he protected the child up until he became a man. And then Joseph, like sometimes in our own mangers, in our own nativity stories in our houses, he just fades out of the story. He's done what he was scheduled to do, and off he goes. Tonight, we're going to look at the reason for the season. We're going to look at why the angels came, what the angels' message was all about. We're going to look at what the prophecies talk to us. We're going to look at the child himself, which is the Savior. I just want to remind all of you that when God wants to make a change in this world, lightning doesn't come down out of the sky. God doesn't come on a big white charger. You know how God makes change in this world? God sends a baby. Always, God sends a child. There's something special about looking into a child's face. Because when you look in a child's face, you actually begin to have hope for humanity. That maybe, just maybe, this is the child that will cure that big disease, or that will bring the races together, or this will be the child to be able to rule and do it with grace and love. It's amazing when you look at a child how much love can outpour for someone you just met, that you've never seen, but all of a sudden, because they've seen their face, it's amazing how much love, how much compassion you can have. Now, I share that with you, because the way God makes change in this world, not only does he send babies, God sends us. That's one of our responsibilities. We're the agents for change in this world. If you see a problem in this world, don't complain about it. Work to change it. That's why God gave us all the tools we have. That's why God asks us to be followers. And he's given us the most effective tools to deal with the problems we have in our world today. And those tools are forgiveness, grace, and love. And if all of us, even just us in this room, practice that in every single situation we have, we would radically change this county, which then would radically change this state, and of course, change our nation. God sends a baby to change the world, but God also sends us. Now, the interesting thing about this is the reason why. Someone once said, this is an anonymous quote, Jesus became what we are so that we might become as he is. You see, we now have an ideal of what to live for. The height of our soul is not that person that we know down the street. The height of our soul, the height of what we're to strive for, is Jesus himself. We're not simply to try and be better. The Savior gives us the necessary tools in order for us to truly be better. He's forgiven us of our mistakes. So we don't have to live with the weight of our mistakes. No, they're gone. That's why He's a Savior. They're washed out. We can start brand new each and every time we come to Him. And when we start brand new, guess what? We can change the world. The baby who became Savior, the name given to Him, this baby that would change history, the one who would change our lives, the name given to Him was Jesus. Now, this is a strange name. It's what we call an alliteration. They took the Greek word and made English out of it. In other words, the Greek sounding letters, we attached English sounding letters to it. That's where we come up with Jesus. But if we were to look at the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. And Yeshua, once again, added English letters to it, is the word Joshua. Now, this name is a play on words. Because Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua actually means the one who saves. So Jesus' name is what He is. He was named Savior, or named Jesus. It was the name given by God, relayed from Gabriel to Mary, and then through the dream that Joseph had. They would name this baby Jesus. They would name Him Savior. That's the play on words. So every time you say the name Jesus, you're really calling on a Savior to help you. You say Jesus, you're saying Savior. Now, Jesus changes us in two essential ways. One, when you look at Him, humility should be the result. Let me tell you a story. In Copenhagen, Denmark, a sculptor by the name of Thorwaldsen created a sculpture of Jesus, the Savior. The problem is, Jesus' face was turned down towards the ground. And the only way you could actually see the face was to get up under. So one day a visitor was trying to look at the face of Jesus, trying to take a picture of the face of Jesus without actually getting down under, when the caretaker came up, tapped the person on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir, you can't see His face unless you kneel at His feet." And that's how Jesus changes us. He's so awesome, so amazing. All the great qualities you would name for a human being can be found in Jesus, and the way in which we receive all those is to kneel at His feet. To literally say, "You are Lord. You are greater than I am. I can't do this without You. I need You." Now that's how Jesus changes us. But Jesus also changes us because He puts us on a journey that is truly amazing, a journey that involves, and this is a saying called the wonder of Christmas, it involves giving. And we don't give what the wise men gave. We give the gift of the Son. In other words, you give our Savior. We give forgiveness. The wonder of Christmas is trust. That we're going to trust Jesus, that He's God's Son, that He's our Savior. The wonder of Christmas means that we're looking at light all the time instead of living in the darkness. And when we see Jesus, we see the light of God. We see the power of who God is. We see the blessing of how we can make a difference in this world. And realize, we celebrate tonight an event that occurred some 2,000 years ago. But it's an event that can be recreated now. Because our Savior isn't just a 2,000-year-old person. He's alive now because of the resurrection. So the wonder of Christmas isn't what present you're going to get tomorrow morning or tonight, depending on when you celebrate. The wonder of Christmas is the Savior came for us, of which we kneel at His feet to receive all of His goodness. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank You, Heavenly Father. You told us about our Savior. You showed us where it would be. You demonstrated who the Savior would be born to. And on this day, years and years later, You continue to tell us so that our hearts will be warmed, so that we might know to trust You. Even when life seems to fall apart and it doesn't make sense and our faith is so fragile, called to trust You. Because You sent this baby who would be Savior. We're called to forgive. That's what you demonstrate on the hill outside of Jerusalem. What a gift it is, Lord God, that we're to forgive others as we've been forgiven. And most of all, what we find tonight is love. The love that we see in a newborn baby, the love we receive from you because you sent a Savior. It's in your Son's name that we offer our lives to you. Amen.